Whoever is bitten by a werewolf and lives becomes a werewolf himself.
Oh, don't hand me that. You're just wasting your time.
The wolf bit you, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. You wouldn't want to run away with a murderer, would you?
Oh, Larry, you're not. You know you're not.
I killed Bela. I killed Richardson. If I stay here any longer, you can't tell who'll be next.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Vincent Price.
If I am feeling particularly ambitious, I make a real curry plus all the side dishes. Many curries are made with meats on the bone, but for my guests, I only want to serve small boys. I like to look around for some really exotic and very hot ones. That's the way my wife likes them. I then skin the boys and take all of the meat from the bone. The easy way is to stab them one at a time with a fork and heat them over a gas flame on the stove until the skin bursts. It then peels right off. What fun. To make the curry itself is child's play. A very simple, but a very elegant dish. Nothing makes a more exotic party. I generally lower all the lights and burn a little child to help create a mood. And then I have sitar records and put them on the stereo, and that helps tremendously. Candles winking everywhere are very romantic. The visual display of the curry, all the condiments, and the boys is really spectacular. This meal depends on you to create a mood, so be daring. Use a different tablecloth or a brilliant remnant of material. Pull out all the brass and copper you can find. Wear dangling earrings and a draped sari if you have it, and every bracelet you can find. Your guests will talk about this dinner party for weeks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Vincent Price.
Hey, kids, here comes Peter Pumpkin. For a safe Halloween, do what Peter does. Wear a light-colored costume short enough so you don't trip. If you wear a mask, make sure you can see. Makeup's better. Don't crisscross the street. Call on one side, then the other. Parents, set boundaries, and it's time to be home. Carry a flashlight for extra safety. And let's all have a safe Halloween.
All right, WMFO Medford. I love all that stuff. Love all those old PSAs.
I goofed this week. My head is elsewhere, obviously.
Oh, we had some original Halloween radio spots. We've done that in the past.
Yep.
Was it good? But they had a haunted house in the background.
But there was one thing that I used to play every year on Halloween, and I'm going to see if I can find it on YouTube. Looks like it might be here.
Is it spooky?
Here we go. Yeah, well, the good news is that over the years, a lot of people have downloaded the stuff that I posted to WMFU or WFMU years ago.
Yeah.
And just put it up on YouTube.
Oh, nice.
So I can get at all of this stuff now without having to dig into my own collection.
Yeah.
And here's one of them. Go to YouTube.
Yeah.
Because I think you can just pull that up on the board, right?
Yep, yep.
Look up a spooky-sounding Halloween story.
Oh, a spooky-sounding Halloween story.
Like, yeah.
Really? That's it?
That's it.
All right. A spooky-sounding Halloween story. I have Kraft Foods.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's throw that on, because this is critical Halloween safety advice for the kids.
Oh, yeah.
From the nice folks over at Kraft Foods.
All righty. Here we go. It's Kraft Foods.
Or actually, let me give you a choice, because let me see if this is here. In fact, I know it is. We could do that, or the other thing that I used to play every year is the Monsters Go Disco.
Oh, that's nice, too.
Which features Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Booberry.
Oh, nice.
Getting their groove all right. On.
And so, that was a free record you got.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And I actually had that record and actually digitized my copy of it.
Yeah.
Which I believe is one of the ones that's floating around all over the internet.
Nice.
So let's go with the Monsters Go Disco because it's a little more. We just covered some of the Halloween safety stuff. This thing is a hoot.
All right, let's play Monsters Go Disco. We'll be right back.
The Monster Cereals, Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Booberry present The Monsters Go Disco. It's Saturday night at Monster Mansion, and our friends Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Booberry are sitting around feeling frightfully lonely. Let's join them and see if they find a cure for their Saturday night blues.
Another Saturday night rolls around.
Yes, Frankenberry. It's hard to believe that three wild and crazy guys like ourselves sit home alone.
Really, Chocula, I'm bored silly sitting here at Monster Mansion.
Well, maybe it's because you're a boring, silly monster.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, fellas, what are we going to do to cure our Saturday night blues?
I've got the answer, Booberry. Let's go disco.
Disco where?
Disco's here, disco's there.
No, disco dancing.
Oh, yes, I can see it now. I'm so light on my feet, I'll boogie all night.
I'm so handsome, all the girls will hustle with me.
After we learn to disco, it's goodbye to sitting home on Saturday nights. We will be the most popular monsters in town.
So what are we waiting for? Let's go disco.
Off go the monsters to learn to disco. Will they burn up the floor when they put on their boogie shoes? Or will their Saturday night sizzle? Sizzle?
Here we are at the hottest disco in town,
the Graveyard Groove.
And there's the DJ, Disco Don.
Oh, my, my, my. Hey, all you groovy guys, gals, and ghouls, are you ready to get down at disco?
Yeah!
Oh, wait a minute, who are you, freaky fella?
I'm Count Chocula.
I'm Frankenberry.
I'm Booberry.
Well, you better get ready to move and groove, you monster head, because it's time for the Graveyard Grooves. Disco King Contest!
Disco King Contest?
Oh, yeah, baby. The best dancer gets to dance all night with the queen of disco. Ta-da! Donna Disco!
Dancer Donna Disco? I'll be the king of the disco.
Oh, no, I will.
All right, Blueberry, you can help me spin these discs. All right, baby. Now, don't spin them through the air, man. Put them on the record player.
Oh, sorry.
All right, Chalk and Frank, it's time to hustle on to the dance floor now for the Disco King Contest. Frankenberry, you're on, baby.
Me? What do I do?
Just move with the beat.
But what song do you want me to spin, Frankenberry?
Something by my favorite group, the Gravestone Five.
All right, Frank and Boogie. Now get out there, baby, and jump and bump. What are you doing?
I'm jumping and bumping.
Oh, wow, man, that's a new dance. You are great, Frank and Boogie. Now, you show us your stuff, Count Chocula.
Blueberry, play something by the Spook Group.
Okay, Chocula, get down and let it roll.
Why are you lying down on the floor and rolling around?
He said to get down and roll!
Oh, it's fantastic! What a dance! You started a whole new dance craze, baby! It's Monster Mania! Everybody's moving to Monster Mania! Hit it, boys!
There's a new craze sweeping the country! Monster Mania! Monster Mania!
Harder than Bob, just Boogie and Harpist!
Monster Mania! Monster Mania!
Jump up and down, then fall on the floor!
Roll around, get up, and do it some more! It's
Monster Mania! Monster Mania!
Bigger than disco, baby! Everybody's going for
Monster Mania! Monster Mania! Monster Mania!
All right, baby. The winner of the dance contest, it's a tie. Frankenberry and Count Chocula. All right, fellas, meet the gorgeous Donna Disco.
Hi, fellas. Let's go disco.
Oh, Disco Schmisco, I'm tired.
Me too. This dancing is too exhausting.
Besides, I've worked up quite an appetite. I want to get back to Monster Mansion and have some of my delicious Count Chocula cereal.
I'll have my strawberry-flavored Frankenberry.
Oh, make mine Booberry.
Count Chocula.
Frankenberry.
Booberry.
Look for more Monster Record adventures in specially marked boxes of Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Booberry cereal.
Man, what a treat.
Love it.
It's so good.
The Monster Cereals, Count Chocula.
Love it. And that was, in fact, my version, because there's some pops at the end, which I remember from when I digitized it. I mean, it was a cardboard record from the 1970s, and I digitized it in the early 2000s. So, obviously, just trying to get the thing to play was a challenge. You know, it was one of those, oh, you put a quarter on top of the record and it'll spin better.
Yeah.
And then you put a stack of when you're actually digitizing, you put a stack of dimes on top of the stylus.
Really get into the groove. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're in a little, it used to be a penny and then a nickel. And then they're like, nah, let's get to put a couple quarters on there. Yeah.
But I've always loved that.
It's so good.
The guys doing the voices are so game singing the song at the end.
You know,
and it's you could picture these actors sitting there looking at these scripts like, are you kidding me? What is this crap?
And the guy doing Wolfman Jack, just fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they pull out, what, it was a Donna Disco at the end? And
Dancing
she's like,
Donna
hey,
Disco.
Hey.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, she brings it down just for half a second and then it's over. And I'm like, perfect. Perfect way to end it.
Clearly somebody who was like answering the phones out front and it's like, hey, we need a woman in here. Come on in and read this. Come on in and read this.
Even for the late 70s, right? Well, that was probably 80s, right?
No, 1977, 78, somewhere in there.
Oh, 79, it says. 79, the third audio track found on the back of Monster Cereals boxes, 1979. They also have Monster Adventures in Outer Space was on there as well. Yeah, so good. And I love how they brought back the Frankenberry, the Count Chocolate, and the Booberry. They also got that Huckleberry guy, right? Tutti Fruity guy?
Fruit Brute is
fruit
back.
Fruit Brute.
They have not brought back Yummy Mummy. I'm still waiting for
the Yummy Mummy. Yeah.
Everyday Horrors, walking into Target.
Yeah, we need a Yummy Mummy.
There is no Count Chocula. The Count Chocula is always the first one to sell out every year.
Yeah. My brother dressed up as Count Chocula one year. One of my favorites.
Count Chocula was the best.
Yeah.
Like Frankenberry, Booberry. I kind of liked Booberry when I was a kid. I never liked Frankenberry.
Yeah, he's all right. He was too pink.
Yeah.
You know?
But
it's like Frankenstein. At least make him green.
Well, I'm talking about the cereal. Well, it's strawberries.
Oh, the strawberries.
Yeah. You know, I'm talking about the cereal. Like, the Booberry
was... Well, they made them Frank and Lime, you know?
Yeah.
Having lime for breakfast.
If I wasn't eating C-3PO's, I was probably reaching for some Count Chocula.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, maybe we'll play that Kraft Foods one. In the background, I've got an Invasion of the Body Snatchers soundtrack from 1978. I'm going to give you two of my favorite remakes for movies to watch for Halloween weekend.
Okay.
Guess what one of them is? I'm playing the soundtrack.
Is it Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
It is, from 1978. My other, The Thing.
Oh, God,
you forget
so good.
That The Thing is so a remake, good. And it's so good.
Yeah.
Both of those, and the first Invasion of the Body Snatchers, amazing movie, but a great sci-fi movie from the 50s.
Yeah.
More about Russians than it is about scares.
The communist
there's
menace.
There's the everyday horror of the communist menace in Invasion of the Body Snatchers. But the 1978 version, they're aliens, and they're coming, and they're taking over your body, and you don't know your friends or your family, and everybody is paranoid.
Jeff Goldblum will not survive.
It is a great, and also Mr. Spock's in it, and he's a villain. He's a bad guy. Yeah, great, great remake. Those were the two that came to mind on the top of my list. My Fright Fest 1 was from October 22nd, 2000. I held my first horror movie festival, and Invasion of the Body Snatchers was in it. And what I did was I did a presentation. It says, screaming at Halloween, things like body snatches, cockroaches, gremlins, and even a flying metal ball with a drill that just comes right out and is trying to get you. So Fright Fest 1, I had the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers with the remake at the very end of the day. I had a movie called Phantasm, which is fantastic. The Twilight Zone episode, Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, which has the gremlin in it. And Captain Kirk theme there. And we also had They're Creeping Up on You, just a segment of Creepshow. And I also showed Halloween. And Scream was my final movie. That was my midnight movie that first year.
This is one thing. If you're putting one of these together, a lot of people just look at it and they're like, oh, let me grab a handful of movies. Vary up the times. Throw in a Twilight Zone episode.
Yep.
If you've got them handy. Throw in, short films or something to break up
Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, throw in something to break up
Shake hands with danger.
Show one segment of Creepshow, which we may be getting on 4K next year. Please,
I love
Creepshow.
Please
let it happen. Yeah. Creepshow 2, underrated.
It is underrated, yeah. Especially the Blob one.
Yeah, which is...
The second episode, The Raft.
You know what the problem with The Raft is? It's, again, the problem with a lot of Stephen King. that story is scary because it's the person on the raft like negotiating how they're going to get out of there.
The story itself is very frightening.
When you get into the movie, you can't really do that. You've got to figure out how to make the blob work, and they kind of pull it off. The blob is actually pretty effective, and it's a nice little story. Creepshow 2, for those who haven't seen it, leans into the Richard Bachman stuff that Stephen King wrote.
Right.
And the folks that made it were basically all the people who were behind the scenes on the original Creepshow. So it's got that continuity and that George Romero kind of swagger to it. It's definitely underrated. If you're looking for something to just, you know, throw one segment in, that's a good choice. There's a lot of good horror anthologies out there you can do that with.
I agree. Yeah, Creepshow is actually playing at Somerville Theater this weekend with one of the original horror anthologies. What is it called? I got to look it up. But at Somerville Theater, they used to do a 24-hour schlock around the clock, and then they did a 12-hour. This year, they're doing, I believe, 5 days of Halloween movies.
Nice.
And they pull out some pretty good stuff.
Is it Trilogy of Terror? Is that the other Karen Black with the doll?
No. It is, let me see. It is Dead of Night from 1945.
Oh, that's
one of the original horror anthologies.
That's going way back.
Yeah, so they've got some pretty cool stuff. They've got Creepshow on 35mm on October 29th, and they have Dead of Night showing with it. They also have Day of the Dead from 85. The Crazies. George Romero's The Crazies on 35mm from 73. Great. They have the original Night of the Living Dead on a 35mm. Dementia 13. Little Girl Who Lives Down the Lane. It's an interesting movie with Jodie Foster.
Early Jodie Foster. Yep. Yeah.
And they got some cool stuff there. I wish they would have the 12-hour or 24-hour. Maybe I'd do that. But going in to see two movies in Somerville when I live, you know, further away now, it doesn't do it for me. If I'm in the neighborhood, maybe.
There's a few of those that are hard to find. Little Girl Lives Down the Lane is a tricky movie to track down.
Yeah.
The 35mm print of The Crazies would be interesting.
The Crazies is a great movie. Then the 73 Crazies is really good.
It's interesting. Parts of it are good. Parts of it are very, very tedious.
I like the fact that it's based in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's another one of those ones. And this is why I like Invasion the Body Snatchers so much. Even though, you know, there's aliens in it, it's the reality of you don't know who's who anymore. And is it you or is it them? And just that psychological horror, plus there's a lot of gore in it. The thing is probably one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
Yeah.
But Invasion of the Body Snatchers is also one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
Yeah.
It is a great one.
The Thing is just incredible fun from beginning to end. It is such a good movie. There's so much going on in it. Like, if you look at the sets and things that people have in their rooms, and, you know, there's so much going on in that movie that you don't notice until you've seen it 10 times.
It also
and
has
sit
a similar
there and watch it 10 times.
Oh yeah, and it also has a similar premise, except there's only one thing. There's only one alien.
Yeah.
In the Invasion of the Body Snatchers, there's a bunch of them. But in The Thing, they're in a remote location. So they're in Antarctica, right? In the Thing, and you have probably about maybe 8 to 10 characters in there, and you're not sure who's who.
Yeah.
And everybody is excellent in it. It's really good. Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite horror movies, if not. I mean, Halloween is up at the top, too.
Halloween is on in my house Halloween night after the trick-or-treaters are gone every year. We watch it every single year. It's tradition. If I was going to throw a movie on, if I was putting together a film fest, Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, you got to have a zombie one in there.
The first choice on my list.
Yeah, and it's the top choice for zombie movies.
It is one of my favorite movies of all time, period, all formats, bar none. It's in my top three.
Yep.
Because it is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant independent film. And if you've never seen it because you're like, it's just blood and guts and zombies, you've got to see it because it is a dark satire of modern society that stands up every bit as well today as it did when it was made.
Yeah.
I'm also going to throw some Dario Argento in there.
Sure.
I got to have Deep Red.
Deep Red's a great movie. I was thinking of that when we went to see Suspiria and Deep Red a couple of years ago. And that wasn't at Somerville. Where was that? That was
The that one, was it, the Coolidge.
Yeah, the Coolidge. And yeah. And I wonder what they're doing this year. I haven't looked into that. But yeah, that was great. That was a lot of fun. And it was sold out.
Yeah.
I mean, there was an entire theater full of horror fans in there. That was really impressive. I thought, I'm like, wow, this is great.
Now, Suspiria is one of Argento's best loved films. The thing, Suspiria is another great one. If you gave me the choice, I'm going to go with Deep Red over Suspiria. Because Deep Red is a murder mystery, whereas Suspiria, it just sort of goes through its paces to its conclusion. The remake of Suspiria, by the way, is fantastic. It's on Amazon. Luca Guadagnino did that.
What'd you call me?
Luca Guadagnino.
Yep.
And you may know him from Call Me By Your Name. Made that in 2019.
Yeah.
It is... watch it without expectations. Watch Suspiria,
yep.
And then watch the reboot... It's not a remake. It's not a reboot. It's a sequel. And I may be spoiling something by saying it's a sequel, but it's a sequel. And it's a great, great continuation of the story.
Yeah, and it's also great. It's a great take on witches.
Yeah.
I think. Hocus Pocus. Have you seen the first one, the new one?
Yeah, my wife saw the new one and hated it.
Really?
Yeah.
I was watching some of it, and I'm like, this is pretty funny. And I was watching it with my four-year-old niece, and yeah. She was loving it.
The kids like it.
I'm like, wow, this is kind of interesting. I never saw the first one.
The first one... kids' movies that insist on pandering...
Yeah.
Don't really do it for me.
I know it's not a horror movie,
yeah.
but is it something fun for kids to watch for Halloween?
It's something, if you've got little kids, it's something certainly that's appropriate for them to watch for Halloween. Now, and Roald Dahl's The Witches is not, by the way, because
that's a
great movie. That's a movie that, like, your 8-9-year-old should see. But
yeah, it scares the hell out of them. Yeah. My brothers watched that and it scared them, yeah.
But the thing about that movie, they changed the ending on it, too.
Really?
Yeah. The thing about that movie is... that's a legitimately scary, good children's movie. It's like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is a great kids movie.
Yeah.
Mary Poppins is a great kids movie. Willy Wonka is a great kids movie. Well, and the reason they're great kids movies is because they don't sit there and pander all day long.
Yeah. But I think also, like, the witches there, it teaches kids something. And this is what the old Grimm's fairy tales did. And I would consider, like, the witches kind of that dark, sinister...
Don't mess with the witches.
Yeah, don't mess with the witches. Don't pander to the kids. Teach them a lesson.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens in Roald Dahl's The Witches there. That was a great movie. And Angelica Houston, when she turns that kid into a mouse, it is a very frightening scene. And, like, my brothers are watching their kids and, like, oh, my God. I'm like, should we even be watching this movie?
Yeah.
It was like, it's rated PG, but it was like, it was pretty scary.
We watched Little Shop of Horrors with Bobby.
Yeah, I'm not a big, not a huge one of that one. Not a huge fan of that one.
It's fun.
It's okay.
If you're
like musicals,
if you're looking for a change of pace, I like musicals. If you're looking for a change of pace in the middle of, like, the horror festival, it's a good change of pace because it stays true to its horror origins, but it's not bloody or gory. It's having fun with everything. There's a who's who of actors in it.
Yeah.
Christopher Guest is great in it. Jim Belushi is great in it.
And Bill Murray shows up.
Bill Murray is amazing. That scene with Bill Murray in that movie is amazing.
And Steve Martin.
And Steve Martin. The two of them.
Yep.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's very good. We both love Phantasm.
Phantasm.
One of the most creative horror movies, don't you think?
And the interesting thing about Phantasm is it's one of those horror movies that everybody's heard of and very few people have actually seen.
Right.
Like, you'll find a lot of people who are like, oh yeah, Phantasm. That's the one with the ball.
Right.
Put that on your playlist.
There's much more to it than the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one of those movies that, even though it's very low budget and very creaky around the edges, it manages to surprise you at different places.
Yeah, and it's bizarre. It's weird.
Yeah.
It keeps you guessing, like, the entire film. It's awesome. And it has probably the best Undertaker in any movie, and especially the best hearse chase scene.
Yes.
Right?
It also,
other than maybe Ghostbusters.
It also has some of the most egregious product placement you'll ever see in a horror movie because Dos Equis sent over, like, a few cases of beer.
Yes.
And there's Dos Equis in almost every single scene in the film.
Yeah. It's such a great, great movie. It's Phantasm from 1979.
Yep.
And again, movie about 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
And that's probably best for horror. Like this new, I've been hearing really good things about Terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying 2.
Terrifier 2.
Terrifier 2. I've heard really good things about it. I haven't gone to see it yet, but I think I might by next week. And I heard it's very, very good. However, since people are saying it's very, very good, I probably won't like it.
Yeah. Now, one thing that you one thing that you put on your list every, because we demand that you show it every year.
Yes.
Molly and I come over, is Shake Hands with Danger.
Shake Hands with Danger is fantastic.
Which is an industrial film
from Caterpillar
about job safety with gory construction site accidents throughout.
Yeah, that they showed hundreds of thousands of employees over the years.
And a terrible country song.
Yes. Oh, it's great.
That keeps coming up over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little bit like Faces of Death meets the CMA Awards.
Yeah.
On a job site.
This is one of the other things that's great about YouTube, and we didn't have this when we were kids, but I remember going a few years after showing Shake Hands with Danger, and I showed that to quite a few of my friends, and over the years, everybody demands us showing that at one point during the Horror Festival.
All about
and it's
7
always kind of later.
Shake
later
Hands with Danger. Shake Hands with Danger.
Somebody went on and they actually did a remix of the actual song and they put it on YouTube. And nice. I found that a few years ago. And I'll put that in the background here for a second.
Nice.
There we go.
Ooh, there we go. It does not sound anything like that in the movie. It's much, much more country in the movie. They got a kind of Hank Williams type.
Yeah. What have I told you? So here's the foreman yelling at the kid because he doesn't know what he's doing. Not to touch anything. And somebody eventually gets maimed or hurt or loses an arm or leg. You mean you'll work on engines and machinery and not think? And then some hip hop guy decided to remix it. So it's got some country in there. Here we go.
Shake hands with Danger.
There's the country man.
Yeah. That's Three Finger Joe.
That is Three Finger Joe. That's right.
Doing a kind of C.W. McCall thing where he sings a song, but he also narrates the film.
Shake hands with Danger. Need a guy who ought to know.
Here's Three Finger Joe, yep.
Now they call me Three Finger Joe.
Yeah. And the way he loses his fingers, they show it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's scary.
There are no hip-hop beats in the original industrial film. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's great.
It really is hilarious.
It's great. And it's truly horrifying.
Yeah.
It is truly one of the most horrifying everyday horrors you can think of. This is for every person who worked in construction or on heavy equipment.
Yeah.
It's like you do not realize how dangerous your job actually is, and you better pay attention all the time or you may not be coming home tonight.
And the great thing about it is it telegraphs what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like you see, oh, that guy's going to lose his hand.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
Or that guy's going to like get his throat cut or something bad is, you know, it's coming.
At one point, a guy's just sitting there in his bulldozer, and he's sitting there waiting for his foreman to tell him what to do next, and he's thinking about how he shouldn't have drank so much last night, and he's worried about his kid getting surgery, and next thing you know, that bulldozer goes right through a house because he ain't paying attention. And, it's high quality, too. They spent a lot of money on this.
It is. It's good stuff.
So find Shake Hands with Danger. I found this on the old educational archives. It was a box set of DVDs that were used in the classroom or in industrial settings years ago, and I love it. And it was my favorite by far on there. There's some great stuff in there. Like all those drug ones come up on the list sometimes too. They have like experiments with people on certain drugs, and they're talking about their horrifying experiences on LSD and things like that. And those are good too. But Shake Hands with Danger is by far an A+.
I believe. Well, I know a couple of years ago you could find it on YouTube because Molly and I watched it on Halloween in honor of you.
Yeah. I see it here. I found it's under Riff Track, Shake Hands with Danger. It says full free short, so it is on there.
Well, that's with them doing the commentary on it. But
it
used to just be up there on its own. And if you dig around.
Oh, no, I know it is here. It's under AV Geeks.
Yeah.
I see it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But definitely go out there and find that one. It's definitely worth a watch. And it's also one of those ones that you pop on, basically when everybody is at your party, that's when Shake Hands with Danger should be played.
But everybody's feeling a little punchy.
The prime time.
You throw Shake Hands with Danger on, it'll settle them right down.
Yeah. How do you feel about those Scream movies?
The first, with all of these things, the first one tends to be good.
Yeah.
And then as they go on, they get sillier and sillier. Like, by the time Wes Craven was appearing in them,
yeah,
they really jumped the shark on those. The first one is interesting, but it launched the whole meta horror. It actually didn't launch the whole meta horror thing. It had been done before that, but it popularized the meta horror thing. And then we got this whole rash of young adult ensemble, pretty people getting killed by some maybe mysterious, maybe real, whatever, grounded in reality killer. It's less fun.
Yeah, I think, Ghostface there, I don't even think kids would really recognize him now. Do you think they know who he even is? Because there hasn't been a Scream movie in a while, right?
Well, they just...
Well, they did a reboot years ago, right?
And they've just been released on 4K, so the kids might know who he is. Certainly the 30-somethings and the 40-somethings do.
Yeah.
I would much rather watch Piranha if we're looking for a movie out of that era. The remake of Piranha
is
a treasure.
Yeah, the one with Ving Rhames and Elizabeth Shue.
And Richard Dreyfuss.
Excellent. Yeah,
Richard Dreyfuss really reprising his role from Jaws, by the way, at the start of that movie.
That's right. Yeah, they don't say it's him, but it is him. Yeah.
That movie, if you like the movie Brain Dead, also known as Eaten Alive.
Peter Jackson. Yep. Lord of the Rings man.
Where you have that absolutely insane climax where he's killing all of the zombies in his house as the party goes on. If you like that moment in that film, you have to see the remake of Piranha, because the climax of that movie is pure insanity.
Yeah.
It's just 20 minutes of blood, guts, and body parts and people running through the carnage. And prior to that, you get about 5 minutes of softcore pornography. It's really a film that knows what its audience wants and just throws out fan service in buckets.
Yep. This is interesting. I looked up Coolidge Corner Theater, and they're actually having a Halloween horror marathon.
What do they got?
It says, let's see. Fright Night is in there.
That's a good one. Just came out on 4K.
Dracula 1931, which is good. The original Dracula. London After Midnight. This is interesting. TCM's 2022 reconstruction of Todd Browning's 1927 film featuring a live score from a pianist. That's cool. A pianist. What else is there? It only has those three there.
They got the stage in there, so they like to do...
It says 13 hours.
So there's got to be more.
So that's happening on Saturday at midnight.
It's not 11 hours of piano, is it?
It says the night begins with The Man of a Thousand Faces, who we know is Lon Chaney.
Yes.
With London After Midnight. That's interesting. And then it says Bela Lugosi is Dracula. Fright Night's a great movie. I rewatched that last year. Great movie. Fun vampire movie. There's been so many vampire movies. I think Dracula is the one character that's been shown so many times in actual movies. Like it's the number one character that's been played in movies.
I believe that's true. The answer to the trivia question of which character has been played by more actors in horror than, or by more actors in movies than any other, is in fact Dracula.
Yeah, yeah.
We got Day of the Dead playing in the background here. That's good stuff.
Yes, that's Day of the Dead in the background. Vinyl rip. Yeah, very good. Brilliant soundtrack. That's another thing. A horror movie's got to have a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
And it really raises it when you have a good soundtrack. I mean, Halloween's got one of the best soundtracks of all time, of any movie.
Yeah.
It's just so sparse and so chilling and so good.
Yeah.
I'm listening to that in the car, and I'm like, this is frightening just to listen in the car in the dark on the way home.
You just put the music on, and you're like, okay, I'm already, the Friday the 13th soundtrack is like that.
Yeah.
The original.
We talked a little bit about Twilight Zone, finding a good Twilight Zone episode like Living Doll. The other one, though, that I love that was on my first one there, the William Shatner one with the gremlin on the plane.
Terror at 20,000 feet.
Do you ever get on a plane and not think of the gremlin on the wing?
No, because I've seen
never. It's almost like Jaws in the water.
Yeah,
it's like No.
If I'm sitting on the wing and I wind up, you know, a lot of the time sitting on the wing, I'm looking out through the whole flight like, is there anything out there?
Right. You know,
what's that engine doing? What's going on? Is this...
It's so bizarre because you think about, you know, that whole tagline of just when you thought it was safe to go back into the water for Jaws 2, of course, which is a great tagline. But after Jaws came out, nobody wanted to go in the water. They were so petrified because that movie, because Jaws, which is a great horror movie, and we talked about Jaws in the past, but it's also a great action-adventure movie, great buddy movie. Would you put that down as a true horror movie, Jaws?
Yes, Jaws is
I would consider it a horror movie, too.
Jaws is a horror movie. Silence of the Lambs is not, and that's...
I still think Silence of the Lambs is, because you got the serial killer there.
Do not put Jaws on your Halloween movie list.
Because most people have seen it in the summer.
Well, but the other thing about it is a summer movie.
Yeah.
And
for that chilly coldness of
Halloween. You want
something
cold. Yeah. You want something like dark and spooky and mysterious, not like
leaves
bright,
falling.
Bright, happy, sunny days. Yep. It's a great horror movie.
Yeah.
It just doesn't fit thematically with the other stuff that you're going to put in there.
This is another direct right turn here. I saw Class Action Park last night. Great.
Oh,
everyday horror.
Yeah.
This was an amusement park that...
Action Park in New Jersey.
That this guy created. He was a stockbroker, and he had to leave New York for a number of different reasons. Yeah. He got some financial backing, and he started to open up the craziest action park, amusement park ever, that a number of people died there.
Yeah.
Tons of injuries.
Yeah.
They would create a loop water slide. And when you went into the loop, you basically hit your head on the ceiling and hit your sides, and people would get stuck in the loop, and they'd have to pull them out.
Yeah.
And it went on from there. There was water slides. There were huge jumps where you would lose the pad and then come down, crashing down. They talked about the Alpine slide there, which we have in New Hampshire. And the one in New Hampshire is still there, and you still have to sign a release form.
Yeah.
I fell off the Alpine slide when I was a kid. I went right off that thing. When it said slow down, I went fast. And I ended up going right off that thing. And another time at the end, I whacked that person. I whacked this girl that was going really slow, and I was getting to the end. You know, I was like 8 years old, and we just slammed into each other and went off the tracks. But going down a couple years ago, man, it's frightening, but man, is it great.
Yeah.
When you finish it, and that was the thrill of it, it's like, I almost lost my life, ha, ha, ha. But people actually did lose their life.
Yeah.
And they do a very good job in this documentary that's on HBO. It's called Class Action Park. They talked to the family of a man who passed away there, and he went off the Alpine slide and hit his head on a rock, and they sued him, and they didn't get much of anything out of it. You know, they lost their son, and it was amazing how much this guy got away with there.
Yeah. Well, it was also the time when you could get away with things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You
never
know,
happened.
When juries weren't like throwing out $1 trillion settlements to everybody.
Yeah. Great werewolf movie, American Werewolf in London.
Absolutely. That should be on that. That's a good, everybody's settled in, they want to watch a horror movie. American Werewolf in London is a huge crowd pleaser.
Yeah, it sure is.
Because it's just goofy fun.
And it has that nice quiet moment.
Yeah.
It knows how to pace itself.
But it's also really scary in places.
Oh, it sure is,
you know, A film that I like to put into that role, you know, for an audience that's, you know, starting to feel it a little bit and, you know, getting a little kicky, is Demons from 1985.
Yeah, I think I only saw that once. Remind me of Demons.
Produced
what is that?
By Dario Argento.
Yep.
Basically, demons get loose in the movie theater.
Yes.
And everybody who gets bitten by a demon turns into a demon, and they're trying to survive in the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great film. If you like zombie movies, if you like fast zombie movies,
it
follows a lot of those conventions, but they're demons instead of zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy fun. It's one of the first horror movies to really experiment with like a modern electronic heavy metal pulsing soundtrack underneath the action sequences.
Yeah.
And it works brilliantly.
Yeah, I agree. Great, great. Good stuff.
What else are you putting on your list? The Thing is a must.
You know, the second year I had my Fright Fest, this is interesting because we talked about this before. I have a few movies in here that you probably wouldn't consider horror movies. Jacob's Ladder.
Jacob's Ladder is a horror movie.
Yeah. I liked it. I like Jacob's Ladder a lot.
My problem with Jacob's Ladder is it's one of those movies that I can't sit
creepy
through.
Creepy as hell.
It's creepy as hell. I can't sit through it in one sitting because it's The way that they tell the story is so unfocused and so all over the place that
yeah, it's supposed to be though.
No, it is, and that's part of the plot. That script was floating around Hollywood forever.
Yeah,
and was considered unfilmable.
Yeah, and then Adrian Lin, who was coming off of Fatal Attraction, got it, and he was able to make it.
He's like, "No, I can make this," and it's like, "You did, but it's not. It's not at all what it." It's a film that reads better on script than actually is as a movie.
Yeah. It's I love it. I think it's a great
creepy movie.
Creepy movie to watch.
But beware that your audience may get restless with it. You know, because it really does meander in places and it's flashing back and flashing forward and you're never when you're looking for the crowd pleasing movie, like if you're watching by yourself, great, watch what you want. When you're looking for the crowd pleasing movie, you have to understand that the bigger the crowd is and the drunker the crowd gets, the less of an attention span they have. Mm.
It was probably one of the last Vietnam veteran movies, too, because it came out in 1990, and there was just this huge surge of Vietnam vet movies in the 70s and 80s, you know, also based on, you know, generational, you know, people in their 30s and 40s at that point, and, you know, fathers and moms and that were involved with Vietnam. But, yeah, I think it's pretty good. Psycho, which... I don't know if I would consider that an actual horror movie, but it is good.
No, it's a horror movie.
It's more of a thriller.
It's another one. That's a good early in the evening.
Best shower scene ever, of course.
It's a good early in the evening, everyone's settling in kind of movie because it's slow burn.
More of a horror movie from Hitchcock, The Birds.
Yeah.
The Birds is a great one to watch and a scary one to watch and a laughable one to watch at the same time, depending on what mood you're in and how old you are, I think.
A movie that I would say don't put on the list...
For Hitchcock?
For the Halloween festival.
Yeah.
And this may be surprising to some people, is Friday the 13th. Because...
It's kind of boring, the first one.
That's the thing. The first 30 minutes is slow burn.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of knows the movie.
Yeah.
So what you wind up with is people sitting there waiting for the kills.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad movie to have on when everybody's showing up, when people are walking through the door.
Yeah.
And it's like, you walk in and you look over and it's like, oh, you know, somebody's getting a hatchet to the head.
Yeah.
But as something that you want people to watch, it's tough to get into.
I have to say, I've never really been into the Friday the 13th movies. I can watch them, but I don't like them as much as I love the Halloween movies. The Halloween movies I love. There's that psychological terror to it. The Friday the 13th movies to me were like blunt head force trauma, you know? Other than the first one.
Yeah.
And the first one, the way that there's that slow burn, it's not like Halloween where it's disturbingly slow in the beginning and it's very clever pacing. That happens in Halloween Ends, too. There's something that happens there and I'm like, oh my God, that was brilliant.
Halloween, the first Friday the 13th is a giallo.
Yeah.
And it's one of the very few American giallos.
Mm-hmm.
And it follows all the rules of the giallo. As it goes down the road, it gets further and further away from that, and it just becomes about murder set pieces.
Yeah.
And that's fun, but it gets super repetitive.
Sure.
The stories start getting ridiculous. Four, I'll pull out as probably one of the best of the bunch.
Yeah, that's the final chapter, right?
Yeah, that's the one with Corey Haim in it, and Tom Savini came back and did the special effects for it.
Sure.
And there's a lot of like good, goofy stuff happening with that. But you're really there to watch the murders, and once you know those movies and you know the pacing of them, you're just waiting for those scenes to come up. Evil Dead.
Evil Dead 2. Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2. Or the remake is excellent.
I haven't seen the remake.
Remake is excellent.
I've heard the remake is good.
Yeah. Very good.
Again, did not need a remake.
Evil Dead 2 is a midnight movie, I think.
Yeah.
Dead Alive. That's what I got on here for number two. That's Peter Jackson.
That's
fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
fantastic, bloody, over the top, hilarious.
That party movie. Scene at the end is just ridiculous. And the things that he does with the special effects, you never see coming. It's a horror comedy. Mm-hmm. So even in the moments when you're waiting for it to get going, it's still fun.
Yes. Great movie. Black Sheep.
I love Black Sheep.
Sheep's fantastic.
Oh,
very
Black
similar
Sheep.
To the Peter Jackson movies. Very funny.
Yeah.
And also very slow pacing at first, and then it just goes completely crazy for a midnight movie. I also had American Psycho and Seven on Fright Fest 2. Both not super horror movies.
No.
But Seven is a disturbing movie. I had a lot of serial killers in the second one, I guess, in the Fright Fest for number two. There was a lot of serial killer stuff. But yeah, Seven has got those really disturbing parts with you know, sloth and gluttony. It's just really disturbing. Very creepy movie. And the way that shot, it's beautiful, the use of light in that movie.
It's a film that keeps you off kilter the whole time, and you don't really know what, you know, what you're seeing and what's going on, and turn it off at the ending before Brad Pitt ruins it. But
American Psycho. See, I like Brad Pitt. I don't think he ruins it at the end, but a lot of people say I don't think he's that bad. And I thought it was good enough acting at the end there.
The problem with that scene is that no actor could really pull that off, like the way that it was written.
Morgan Freeman could have.
And no actor can pull that off the way that it's written. And Brad Pitt hadn't really developed fully as an actor by that point.
No.
And really couldn't pull it off.
Mm. Yeah, and the other one I had was American Psycho, which I think is kind of like the Oliver Stone movie there, Natural Born Killers. It kind of is just a glorification of violence for violence' sake. And is it satire, or are you just glorifying violence?
Well, the book is satire, but what the movie turned out to be was something
sick
else.
Too, though.
Yeah, the
Bret Easton Ellis.
Book's very sick, but the book is good. There is a nice extended Texas Chainsaw Massacre homage in the middle of American Psycho that makes it kind of fun.
Yeah. When he brings, who does he bring back? Jake, what the hell is the kid's name? It's, he was in Requiem for Jared Leto.
Is it Jared Leto?
Yeah, Jared Leto he brings back. And I think that's the scene you're thinking of with him. And he puts down all the plastic and then goes to town.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's one that I should probably watch again, but I also don't look forward to watching again at this point. I think it was something for maybe me in my 20s. Than me in my 50s for a horror movie, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I could still watch any horror movie, but I almost feel like I'm past some of them. Like the Friday the 13th ones. I could still watch Nightmare on Elm Street, but maybe not Friday the 13th.
See, Nightmare on Elm Street was always my jam. I love the Freddy movies. And to me, Freddy was above Michael and above.
A great icon.
For me, it goes Freddy, Michael, Jason.
Yeah.
There are Halloween movies. The first Halloween, I believe, is one of the most brilliant horror movies ever made, hands down.
Yeah.
Any era. It's perfect.
Well, one of the only things about Michael Myers is he never speaks.
Right.
And I mean, it really kind of, after so many movies, it really kind of holds it against him. I mean, Freddy actually, you know, will talk to you and he will tell you what he's going to do, you know, which is disturbing.
The Nightmare on Elm Street movies also get into,
he manipulates you.
Also get into, like, creepy sexual territory as they go on too, which is
the Nightmare on Elm Streets.
Which is interesting.
Or, since right in the beginning. Yeah.
But the first one kind of dances around that. The remake took it on head on, but the first film kind of dances around that.
What about the great scene though? I'm your boyfriend now.
Yeah.
Just sticks the tongue out there
in the
phone. That's awesome.
It's there.
That's awesome.
But it's also in the process of making that movie, because that's originally what it was going to be. It was like Freddy Krueger was this child molester that killed all of his victims.
Yeah.
But in the process of making it, and in the process of getting the X rating, and trying to figure out, because they spent a decent amount of money on that movie for, you know, a horror film.
Right.
And in the process of trying to get it past the censors, they dialed down all the stuff about child molestation and you know, Freddie being a sex offender, and they just made him into this guy who kills kids.
Right. Yeah. In the first movie, though, they touch upon that, and then it kind of goes away, right?
It's still there.
Yeah.
It's still in the subtext of it, but the direct references to it were all pulled out.
Yeah.
When really what the MPAA wanted was, you know, less blood pouring out of the bed after Johnny Depp dies.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's, I think any of those Freddy movies are a great film just to throw in the middle of the night, because everybody vaguely knows who the character is.
You could start it anywhere, really.
You don't really need to follow the continuity of it. You can throw four in. You can throw five in, just whichever one you like the best.
Yeah.
Two, of course, is the gay one.
That's the one where he comes out at the pool party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two is the gay one.
Not like he comes out gay, but he comes from the dream world into reality,
right,
which is like, what's happening here?
But there are a lot of gay themes in the second one.
Yeah.
And there was a great movie that came out earlier this year called Scream Queen, which is about the actor who plays the young man in Nightmare on Elm Street 2,
yeah.
who was in fact gay and who was in fact closeted and trying to get into Hollywood to be, you know, one of those young leading men, which launches your career. Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street 2 sunk it because when the movie came out, a lot of people were like, this is, why is all these gay things happening in this movie? Mm. There's even a direct line in it, you know, where he's in his best friend's bedroom and he's like, something's trying to get into me. And he's like, yeah, it's in the cabana, but you're here in bed with me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I had my dad take me to that one too.
There's a gay bar that features in the movie. There's a very S&M oriented murder of the gym teacher early in the film.
Really?
I'll
have to watch this again. I don't remember number two being so gay.
The thing about it is a lot of it was coded.
Yeah.
And if you knew what you were looking for, you would see it.
Yeah.
And as the years went by...
I was only like 13 when I saw that.
As the years went by, gay audiences started gravitating toward it and said, you know this is a gay movie, right?
Well, they always do that.
In this case, it's true. Uh-huh. It really is. But the guy that played that lead character in that film...
Yeah.
His career was ruined because of it. And he made a documentary.
He was the lead, right?
Yeah. He made a documentary called Scream Queen, My Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
And it's in the same vein as the Flash Gordon movie.
Yeah.
That, who's the actor that played Flash? Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
Sam Jones. It's in the same kind of vein as that. And I don't particularly care for that film because Sam Jones is kind of deluded about what
I love
really
Flash Gordon.
About yeah. Flash Gordon is great.
Yeah.
It's a flawed movie, but Sam Jones is not the hero that he wants to be. In this case, the young actor
is the hero we deserve.
And the whole point of the film is that he's going to a Nightmare on Elm Street convention where all the cast of two is going to be there. And he's going, you know, partly to confront...
He moves into Nancy's old house.
Yeah.
Right?
He's going there partly to confront the screenwriter and the director
uh-huh.
about what happened to him.
Yeah.
And you start watching this movie, and especially if you've seen the Sam Jones thing, you're like, all right, here's another vanity project where we're going to turn him into the hero. It's really not that. Hmm. And it really is a great... Great documentary. If you can get a copy of it, I highly recommend it.
Scream Queen.
Scream Queen. My Nightmare on Elm Street.
So he was considered the first male Scream Queen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember it being so gay. I'll have to watch it again.
Oh, it is.
I'll have to watch it again.
The gay stuff is all over the place.
I'll be looking for gay stuff in Nightmare on Elm Street, too.
The guys, yeah. like, there's all the guys that you see in the movie are yeah. all walking around in cut-off half shirts
yeah.
that show off their abs.
Yeah, but that's what we did back in the
80s. But it's what we did, and then there's...
I got tons of pictures of, like, my brother and his friends. That's all they wore.
It's,
like, you know, half shirts and...
It's very
they
gay.
They didn't turn out gay, most of them. I think they... experimented a little bit and didn't talk about it, but that's another story. Pretty petites. I got a recipe for you.
Oh, yeah? Oh, petite fours?
Pretty petite fours, yeah.
Nice.
It's got a lot of butter in it. It's got shortening sugar, vanilla extract, flour, baking powder, salt, whole milk, egg whites. You can go on there, and it'll tell you how to make your frosting. It'll tell you how to make your petite fours.
Nice.
What do you think, a Halloween petite four?
You can do Halloween petite fours.
Yeah.
Orange frosting on them. You can draw pumpkin faces on them.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I told you about the counterfeit dunk-o-lantern, right?
No. Yes. Did you?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
I think I did. I think we talked about this last
week. The counterfeit dunk-o-lantern. Oh, yes. The donut.
Yeah.
That was not a real
dunk-o-lantern. They took a box of cream and drew a pumpkin face on it and sold it as a dunk-o-lantern, and I'm still traumatized.
Oh, that's lousy.
So what else do we need on the Fright Fest list?
There's so much here, and I know we could never get enough in 2 hours, even for Halloween. Okay, a must for Halloween weekend, for me at least, The Exorcist or The Omen or both. Both of them are great. Horror movies.
I think The Exorcist probably beats The Omen, but
they're both frightening as
hell.
Yeah. And The Exorcist is still disturbing to this day when I watch it. There's a lot in it that's so disturbing when you watch it, especially when you have those dark lights, the lights are out, and you have the sound way up for The Exorcist. There's a lot of very disturbing soundtrack happening in The Exorcist.
There's some great kill scenes in The Omen, and people forget that about that movie.
Yes.
There's some really great kill scenes in it.
Mm-hmm.
The Shining.
Shining's a great one.
Let us not forget the chairman of the board that The Shining absolutely... It's one of those movies that just settles a room down and people watch it and they're freaked out by it.
And it's hugely entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you actually genuinely care about all the characters. You care about every single one of them. Even Scatman Carruthers, the poor guy. Yeah.
I don't like most horror films that have been made in the last 10 or so years.
Not a lot of good ones, no.
But one that I'll put up there as one of the greats of all time is The Witch.
I was going to actually bring that one up. It's with two V's, the Vitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is very good. I thought it could have been better, but I still think that's a director to watch.
Yeah.
He's real, really, really good. And I love The Lighthouse, too, which has horror elements to it. But The Witch, I would want to see a sequel to that, actually. Because she eventually, spoiler alert, it's about a witch.
Yeah.
And eventually she becomes a witch
at the
end.
Well, we don't know if it's about a witch. Maybe it's about a witch.
It could
be. Maybe it's just about... It's a near silent...
It's well done.
Yeah, it's a near silent film.
Yeah.
And it's just pure atmosphere coming at you. You know, the way that they do colonial New England in the film feels very real.
It's moody. It's suspenseful. There's character development. There's some good scares.
Yeah. It's got
a surprise ending.
It's a great, great, effective film. We talked about American Werewolf in London.
Great movie.
That for me is one of the all-time greats.
You got to get the universals in. Bride of Frankenstein. Yeah. Invisible Man for fun. You know.
I think Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein are great choices for that.
Nosferatu.
Nosferatu.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And the Herzog one's great, too, but it's very, very slow.
Yeah.
Very slow, but it's still very good.
And actually, what was the one that Willem Dafoe was in?
Shadow
of the Vampire.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That's a fun, not really a horror movie, but it's a fun kind of thematic thing that you could throw in there.
Yeah. What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Very funny.
That's a movie that people kind of need to pay attention to, but kind of don't.
Yeah.
Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead, great zombie movie.
Has some awesome stuff in it.
Yeah, I showed Mad Monster Party one year. That was kind of neat. The Rankin Bass.
Yeah, that's fun.
Got the birds in here. Creepshow, more Creepshow. Village of the Damned. Do you remember that? The John Carpenter Village of the Damned?
Yes.
Mark Hamill and Christopher Reeve. Not bad. Remake. The original one's much better.
I might take The Fog over Village of the Damned.
They're both okay.
If you're
they're both John Carpenter light to me. But I like all the John Carpenter movies.
If you're throwing on Halloween and you throw The Fog in there, that's a nice pairing.
I got a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Watched it last night.
You did?
Yeah.
And where is it now? Where can you find The Great Pumpkin?
On the DVD in my shelf.
Yeah, that's what I got.
It's only on Apple TV now.
Yeah.
So you can't see it anywhere else because Apple is evil.
Bad Taste, Peter Jackson.
That's...
another good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of his early stuff is really good.
Bad Taste, not quite as good as Dead Alive.
No, but still very good. So we are actually almost out of time here.
I'm trying to think if there's any majors that we have, you know, things that we've...
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Planet of the Spiders.
We talked to him. Tarantula. Go see Tarantula with a young Clint Eastwood for a 50s movie there.
Planet of the Spiders. We loved that.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous entertainment.
Real Horror Show will be back next week, and we will talk about more scary movies. They will still go on after Halloween. My name's Chris Earle. It's Derek Gary. It's WMFO in Medford. See you next week, everybody. Happy Halloween.
I can only write this behind a locked door for fear of the world coming down on top of my head. I was at a Walmart in Joplin, Missouri recently. I was standing in line with some shaving cream. All around me, Halloween